Earlier this week, the North Carolina Board of Elections ruled that the Libertarian Party will no longer be recognized as an official political party. The ruling instantly turned 13,000 registered Libertarians across the state into unaffiliated voters. One of them is Mike Munger, chair of the Political Science Department at Duke University.
Hey, North Carolina, we're near the top, and we've got our eye on the summit. Number one. Unfortunately, this is not a list of winners. By two different measures, North Carolina has among the top five most restrictive and undemocratic ballot access laws in the nation. We're in violation of United Nations rules on ballot access and fall well short of the requirements for free and fair elections that we publish and try to impose on other nations like Nicaragua or the Philippines, or Iraq for that matter. Should we worry that George Bush will invade the Piedmont to restore democracy? Consider some examples of the scope and impact of these restrictions. Ralph Nader was kept off the ballot in North Carolina in both 2000 and 2004. Now, you can be for Nader or against him as a presidential candidate, but how can you argue that the citizens of North Carolina should not be allowed to make their own choices? Denying Nader a chance even to appear on the ballot in both of those last two elections was a travesty. In 2000, Nader was the official candidate of the Green Party. He was on the ballot in every state except Oklahoma, South Dakota, and good old North Carolina. He picked up nearly 3 million votes nationwide. In 2004, Nader represented the Reform Party in many states. This was a party that had won double-digit percentage vote totals in many U.S. states in the two previous elections. That's pretty outrageous. Lots of people were angry at Nader, saying he cost Gore the election in 2000. But the problem is a system of election law that forces us to make such stylized choices. You can't blame the Green Party for trying to articulate an alternative vision of government and society because that kind of competition of ideas is the foundation of a healthy democracy. The North Carolina law has it completely backwards. You have to get 10% of the vote as a precondition to stay on the ballot next time. Well, how does that work exactly? Real well, perfectly, from the perspective of the two so-called major parties. Not so well from the perspective of citizens who'd like to have a choice rather than just be an echo. Voters know third parties might be short-lived, so even if they prefer the third party, they won't vote for it. Of course, there is another way to get on the ballot. A party or a candidate just has to collect signatures on a petition. 100,000 signatures after every election. You either collect 100,000 signatures all over again, starting at zero, or you get wiped out. What the aspiring party has to do is spend months of time and all its meager cash standing on street corners and begging, not just once, every time there's an election. There are two questions here. Do you as a voter support the Greens, the Socialist Workers, the Libertarian Party candidate? Well, how would you know? Who are they? That's just too difficult a hurdle for a party without ballot access to jump over. The second question, the one that policy should focus on, is this. Do you think that we need more choices, more alternatives to the hidebound, insulated, and out-of-touch political establishment in this state? Full disclosure, I'm a registered Libertarian. Well, I should say that I was. Now, I'm an outcast, a pariah. I hope I don't have to go sew a pink L on my shirt as an outward sign of my shame. The state of North Carolina has just decided to strip my right to register or vote as a Libertarian. Now, they are being fair about it. They deny the same right to the Greens, Natural Law, Socialist Workers, or any other party. In the particular instance decided last week, consider this. There were 13,000 of us actually registered as Libertarian. There were more than 50,000 people in our state who voted for Barbara Howe, the Libertarian gubernatorial candidate, in 2004. Do we need a third party? Do we need all that clutter and choice on the ballot? Suppose you asked Ford or General Motors if the American public needs more choices. They'd say no. We don't need those Toyotas and Lexus sedans and nice little Honda hybrids. We don't even need Dodges, Jeeps, Chryslers, or other American cars. Two choices ought to be enough for you little people. Well, why? Competition keeps the big boys honest, or at least lets people choose something else if the big two become too powerful and greedy. But North Carolina has used ballot access restrictions to prevent any challenges to the big two. You're either a Republican or a Democrat, or you're out of luck. How's that working out for you, citizens? This is a truly nonpartisan issue, one of the few that I can think of. As a matter of policy, in my opinion, there's an easy fix. The ruling party oligarchy should not be able to decide which parties are legitimate and which are not. But here are the words of Richard Morgan, then House co-speaker. These restrictions are how, and I'm quoting now, North Carolina maintains stability within its political system. Although there are some legitimate political parties in existence that have not yet met this threshold in North Carolina, there are even more parties that are illegitimate that this policy has been able to keep at bay. Keep illegitimate parties at bay? If we need ballot restrictions to keep certain parties away on election day, we must be afraid that people might actually vote for such illegitimate parties. To me, the fact that people might vote for them is what would prove that these parties are legitimate. These ballot access restrictions are not a sacred part of our heritage. Until 1981, North Carolina had much, much less onerous requirements. We haven't even had these laws for 25 years yet. It's an experiment that's harmed our state and rendered our political system inert, our government calcified and unresponsive. Let's cut the petition and percentage requirements to more manageable levels. The average across all other U.S. states is pretty low. Signatures from 0.5% of the electorate get your party on the ballot. That's 1/4 of our present requirement in North Carolina. The experience of other states shows that the scare tactics used by opponents are flat wrong. No state with a requirement of at least 5,000 petition signatures has ever had even 10 choices on the ballot. Very few states have even as many as 4 alternatives. The problem is not with the parties that want to offer choices or with the citizens who'd like to see some challenges to the status quo. The problem is with the overly restrictive and repressive laws that keep all of us from having a voice in the first place. The Political Repression Hall of Fame is not how we should want to be remembered as a state or as a people.
Mike Munger is the chair of the Political Science Department at Duke University and was a registered libertarian in North Carolina. That's the state of things for today, and it is also the last day that we'll be graced by the presence of our summer intern, Alex Granados. Alex has proven invaluable to the show, and some of the very best work we have done in the past few months has been thanks to him, also some of the best coffee we've had. And yes, we're being extra nice, as it is pretty obvious that someday we will all be working for Alex. Thanks for listening. If you have a comment on our show, you can drop us an email at sot@wunc.org. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Frank Stachow.